Well, first of all, let's just bow our heads. We're going to pray just for a second before we open up. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, God, that you are here with us, that we had a great worship time experience, Father. But Lord, we ask, God, that you continue to speak to us through your word, and Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts even after church is over. Lord, we give you that permission, Father, to touch us whenever you want, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether we're sleeping in bed, or whatever we're doing. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would speak to us in 2017 differently than you did in 16. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I'm going to lighten the mood a little bit. Worship was good, but I'm going to lighten the mood. So, I've got a joke for you guys. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Okay. A priest, a rabbi, and a preacher walk into a bar. I'm just kidding. That was Pastor Kurt's joke. I wasn't going to steal it from him. He shared it last night with a young adult, with the family builders, and it was so good that I was thinking, well, I'll let him tell it next week when he gets back. So, Pastor Kurt, if you ever hear this message, that was for you, buddy. I love you. Anyways, but I do have a joke. All right, you ready? So there was this bear hunter. We'll call him Daryl for short. And this bear hunter went out into the woods, and he was like, oh, Daryl's not even here. Oh, that's even better. Anyways, so I can really pick on him now. So Daryl was in the woods. He'd been in a tree stand all day. He had his 30-30 gun. You know, he was looking for a bear, a new trophy, something to put up on the wall or a rug because he needs another one in the living room. So he's looking, he's waiting, and he doesn't see anything. So he's like, well, I'm just going to get on down. And, you know, Lord, I really wish I could have got a bear today, or at least saw one anyways. So he gets down, and he puts his, he kind of drops his rifle a little bit, a few feet, so it doesn't go off. So it's okay. Then he jumps down, and then eye to eye, he sees a bear right in front of him. And he's like, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. He sees this big bear. It's huge. It's like 10 foot tall. It's massive. It's a massive bear. He's like, that would be a trophy in any state. So he's looking at it, and he's like, and then he looks at his rifle. He's like, it's over there, and I'm helpless. So immediately falls to his knees and says, oh, God, I pray that this is a Christian bear. And then all of a sudden, the funniest thing happens. This bear looks at him, gets down on its knees right beside him, and says, dear Jesus, thank you for the lunch that I'm about to receive. Amen. So you better be careful what you pray for. You know, you might want to be a little more specific. So let's, I need some congregation interaction here. We had 2016 last year. What are some highlights, or what are some things that happened in 2016? So could somebody tell me something that happened in 2016 that was either good or okay, or something that happened in pop culture? Anyone, raise your hand. I was calling you immediately. Does anybody even remember? Okay. Evelyn was, yeah, my third child, second daughter, I want to make sure I got it right, was born. So that was a great life event for me. Anyone else? A new president? Yep, that's true. What else? Just raise your hand. It's okay. There's no wrong answer to this. Frank, oh, Jesus. We need prayer for 2017. Frank, let's start driving. No, I'm good. I'm kidding. He's really good. Just stay off the sidewalks. You're good. So, I'm sure he's a great driver. So, anyone else? Anybody else have anything that happened? Quit your job. Yay. Well, you know, hey, there's things that happen. There's things that happen. On a sad note, Carrie Fisher died. Very sad. Star Wars, yeah, that was sad. I mean, there's some things that happened that weren't the greatest, but there were some good things too. So, moving on, 2016, did you reach your goals though? You know, a lot of people have goals and plans they have for 2016. Did you reach them? Well, I did pretty good this year at reaching my goals. I got about 50-50. My first goal was about my eating in 2016. So I'm going to be very vulnerable with you right here. My goal in 2016 was to eat more sushi. So I would like to know that I achieved that goal this year. Thank you, Jesus. I was very happy. I like eating sushi. You know, some people don't like it, the raw fish and everything like that. I understand, you know. It's okay, I'll pray for you. You'll get delivered. Jesus ate raw fish. He ate sushi all the time, I think so. But no, I'm just kidding. No, but I did achieve that goal. But one goal I didn't achieve this last year was I didn't play much golf. That was very sad. That was a very sad goal. So 2017, you can talk to my wife. I'm going to be going for the green. And if anybody wants to join me in my goal for 2017 to be a better golfer or to at least play more, please see me after the service. Okay? So we had a lot of things that happened in 2016 and some things that are going to be in 2017. And when I was really praying about this, I felt that the Lord was showing me a few different things. But one thing He wanted us to do is He wanted us to leave 2016 in the past. When I was praying about this specifically for this congregation, He said, well, let's leave 2016 in the past. He wants to move us forward. Now, what that means is, it's a clean slate. So, that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. So, you know, if you and your wife fought a lot in 2016, hey, I got a clean slate. I'm good. You know? You had problems with your kid in 2016, hey, you're good. If you had a lot of things that happened in your life in 2016, God wants to move you from that and give you a clean slate for 2017. Now, what that requires is a little bit of different thinking for 2017. We don't want to revert back to 2016 and bring those ways, those things, those habits into the new year of 2017 where God wants to really use us and really wants us to be powerful Christians. He wants to give us a clean slate for 2017 so we can really do His will and see Him use us to our fulfillment. We need to have a perspective of people in ourselves through God's eyes in 2017. Now, I know it's hard sometimes for married people, and I'll say myself on this one especially, to forget about the things that your wife or, you know, your husband or your kids did in 2016. Sometimes it's a little hard to forget those things. But you have to remember, if God has given you a clean slate, if He's forgiven you, you need to get rid of that stuff. Just get rid of it. It's not going to help you in 2017. It's not going to help you with what's going on, what God wants to do in your life. So get rid of that. Get a new perspective. And that's one thing I'll be praying for the church is that we get a new perspective of 2017. That we see God through a new perspective. That we see our family and our congregation in a different perspective. Let's see each other through God's eyes. Because it's very different. I mean, I can look out and see different people and see different things. And I know some things. But when I look through God's eyes, there is hope. There is destiny. There is a purpose. And there's a fulfillment of that, which is awesome. So let's look at people as well as our congregation, as well as ourselves. Sometimes we get so caught up on ourselves. Well, I'm so bad. I keep doing this and I keep doing that. God loves you. Look at it. Look at yourself through His eyes. He died on the cross for you. He loves you so much. You're His son and daughter. He loves you so much. It's amazing. We have to get this perspective in ourselves and in through our brain sometimes to look at ourselves through God's eyes. Now, the other thing I'm going to touch on is one thing that God wanted me to highlight this year, to leave 2016 in the past, and is unforgiveness. That's what He said for this congregation for this time. Unforgiveness. We need to put that, leave it in 2016. But, you know, He was so helpful. He gave me a wonderful video to show about forgiveness. Let's move to 2017. So last week, Pastor Steve asked us to ask God what He wants for us for the new year. And I don't know if any of you got answers, which I hope you did. I know for me, I got an answer. And, you know, what we need to do is, what identity are we going for 2017? What did God speak to you that is going to change you, and that what he wants to do in 2017 that he did not do in 2016. So let's look to the Bible. We're going to turn into Luke 5. So we're going to turn to Luke 5. And we're going to take a look at one of our favorite people, Peter. And if this sounds a little familiar, then it does, because actually Pastor Steve was talking about it last week. So, which is kind of funny, because I was like, hey, he's taking my sermon. But it's okay. It's a little different. So I'm just going to read a little bit. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little for a shore. They sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down my nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them and fill their boats so that they would not sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so the James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So we see Peter at one point where he first became one of Jesus' disciples. That is the starting point of Peter with Jesus. Jesus did a miraculous thing that Peter was like, "Wow, this is amazing. I want to see what this guy has. I don't know if he's the Son of God, but he's a sure prophet. He works in the miraculous." So we see the start of a journey for Peter. Now, a lot of things happen. We know that Jesus lived for about 3 years. And during his ministry, he did many things where there was with Peter, with James and John. There's many different things that happened through his life. Okay, then at the end of Jesus' life, we see that Peter, even though he said he would never deny Jesus, ended up denying him 3 times. We see all these things happen. And even though Peter had been one of the closest of the disciples, he still denied Jesus. And he still went off to himself. So after Jesus was crucified, and even after he'd risen from the dead, Peter was still so heartbroken, so ashamed of himself, which I would be too. I can understand that. You spend 3 years with the Son of God. You know who he is. He dies in a way that you didn't think would happen. And then all of a sudden, all your dreams are crashed down. And you're like, "I don't know what to do." So he goes back fishing. Or he started. He goes back fishing. So we're going to turn to John 21 now. Turn to John 21. I'll give you a minute to get there. So after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will catch some." When they did that, they were unable to haul the net, and because of the large number of fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard them say it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from shore, about 100 yards. So when they landed, they saw a fire burning, coals there with fish on it, and some bread. So we see a little bit of a repetition. We see at the beginning where Jesus calls Simon, and he is fishing. And then we see where Jesus has been raised from the dead. The disciples, not sure what to do. Peter's like, "Well, I guess let's go back fishing." Goes back to fishing, and then Jesus does the miraculous again. In those 3 years, there's a lot of things that happen, like I said. But what Jesus does to reconcile Peter is amazing, and it's for all of us. No matter what happened in 2016, God will meet you where you are in 2017. No matter what happened. No matter what type of things happen, no matter if you got sidetracked, whatever life threw at you, God will still meet you there. And he did it for Peter. He's going to do it for you. One thing that God showed me was that God's Spirit will take you deep into his presence, but it's your character that will keep you there. It's a good quote. You should write that down. It's straight from Jesus. So, I'm going to say it again. God's Spirit will take you deep into his presence, just like Peter. Peter had some amazing things that happened to him. Amazing things that happened. But it's your character that will keep you there. You can have some awesome praise and worship experiences. You can be in the presence of the Most High. And you can have things that just God even speak to you in an audible voice. But if you don't have the character to keep you there, you will keep falling out of it. And what character means to me, and I mean, I could give you a dictionary response of what character means, but character really boils down to this in the practical sense. Character boils down to a choice that you make, either in public or in private. Character boils down to a choice that you make, either in public or in private. Peter said in private, I'll never deny you. But in public, it showed his character when there was a little thing called peer pressure. When the people around him were quite agitated at Jesus and wanted to crucify anybody. Your character is your decision that you make in secret and in public. We've got to have the right character. God wants you to have the character. God wants you to have to make the right choice for this year. He's with you. He wants to be with you. And he wants to continually to give you everything you need. We have, like I said, we have to change our perspective of ourselves, of him, and the people around us. Because God wants to use all of us this year to build up his body, to build up his church. And the church is not the four walls. The church is us. Us people. That's what the church is. You know? Other Christians met at homes. They met in different places. But it's the church, us people, that really makes this up. And God wants to use each and every one of you for this year to do a specific purpose and has a specific destiny for you. One thing about perspective. If we have a past mentality mindset, then our present reality will never measure up. And our future hope will always be too distant for us to experience. Sure. If we have a past mentality mindset, so we're thinking about all the things that have happened in the past, then our present reality will never measure up. And our future hope will always be too distant for us to experience. It's good. You should write that down. That's straight from his throne room. It's good. So, If we have that mindset of 2016, of the good old days, of the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, when things used to be wonderful, I get too. I had some great days back in the 90s. Man, I used to get up and watch cartoons 6 o'clock Saturday morning. Man, those were some good days. You had TGIF on Friday nights. I mean, you know, Family Matters, see, you know, they're all the shows. But and then I had some great encounters with God where I was living in New Orleans at the time, and God really met me and really spoke to me and really did some great things, and I had awesome ministry opportunities, things like that. But if I live in those days, if I have that past mentality, my present reality will never measure up, because I'll always be thinking about those times. I miss the good old days. Oh, man. You know, life is okay now, but those were really the good times. And then when you do that, the future that God has for you becomes too distant for you to experience it. That's the danger and past mentality thing. Because if you can't put the past in the past, then you'll never step into the future that God has for you. And that's something I want to see, I want to experience. And something I would love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, my church, to experience it with me. Because I can't live there. Yes, those were some great days. Don't get me wrong. Those were some good days. I had some great times. But I'm looking forward to what Jesus is going to do. Because those are going to be awesome. The great times of revival in the past, the great spirits and movements of God, are great, but that is only a prelude to the awakening we can meet down the corner, to what God has for us. And you think you're using the gifts now? You think God is using you now? Just wait. God's got so much more in store for you. He's got such a fulfillment in your lives waiting for you to grasp it. But we have to get out of that past mentality. We have to get out of that past thinking for us to obtain those things. Because, let's face it, you can look at the stars all you want, but unless you build a rocket ship, you're not going there. It's practical thinking. You can look at the stars all you want, but unless you're ready to build a rocket ship and go visit there and get there, you'll never experience it. So that's what I really believe that this message was for today. This message was for what God wants to encourage you to let 2016 be 2016. Imagine if you did things a little bit differently. Just imagine with me for a minute. Imagine, let's just think a little crazy. Let's just go a little crazier. You're ready to think a little outside the box? I'm ready to think a little outside the box. What if, instead of coming to church empty, we came to church full? Well, wait a minute. What do you mean, man? What if we had some, and I mean, prayer time here is good at church. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be here for prayer time. I'm just saying, what if instead of dragging our feet, trying to get to the good stuff on Sunday, we came to church full, ready to minister, ready to help and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, and really go in and really see the King and worship Him? What if? What if instead of looking at our spouses or our children a certain way like we did through that 16th, what if we look at them through the eyes of the Lord? What if we look to see, like, wow. Wow, you really are a wonderful person. God has a specific plan and a purpose in your life, and I want to help you achieve that instead of us fighting. Wouldn't that be a little different in your marriage? What about with your kids? Kids act up. Yeah, I know. But what if you see something in them? What if you look at them through God's eyes and say, wow, you really care about other kids. Let me help you care about other kids more. Let's see what we can do for some of these other kids. And really enhance this spiritual gift that's been given to us? What if we do things a little bit different than what we have? Now, I know that's crazy talk. I know it's crazy. It seems kind of out there. But what if? If we want to go to where the Lord has us in 2017, what changes do we need to do? We can stay where we were in 2016. We can keep the same pattern. We can. And I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can keep doing the same thing, the same way, the same time, day after day, and that's it. You can keep doing that. God gives you the choice to do it. But you'll never have the different results. I know in myself, sometimes I'm like, I read the Old Testament, I'm like, man, this Israel people, why do they keep going around the desert, the wilderness, for 40 years? They keep sinning and then turn back to God, sinning and turn back to God, because they never did anything different. And because they didn't want to go into the promised land, they stayed in the wilderness and died there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go 40 years in the desert and die there. I want to go forward to what God has for me and really receive what He has. And I pray that all my brothers and sisters are with me in that. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. So let's all stand, and we're just going to pray. So let's all just bow our heads. And I just want you to reflect on this just for a moment. Just reflect on it for a moment with God. I'm not going to say anything. And I just want you to talk to God just for a moment. And then after that, we're going to close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank You right now that You have a plan and a purpose for us in 2017 that's different than 2016. Lord, right now, Lord, I just put away all that 2016 thinking. I put away all those past things, the unforgiveness, all of it, Lord, that past mentality. Lord, I want to go on further in You, Jesus. And Lord, I know there's many brothers and sisters I have out there that want to go further on with You as well. Lord, right now, we just ask God that You would help us in 2017 to not live with a past mentality, but to await Your future and the hope of the fulfillment of that. That we're going to achieve goals that we never thought were possible. That the impossible is going to be done, and that You're going to use us and have us even more so fulfilled than we ever have been in the past. Lord, we thank You for that. And we move and we press on towards the goal. We reach for that prize, oh God. And we say thank You so much. Give us the wisdom to know what to do, what to stop. Give us the character to be able to stay in Your presence. To stay where You have us. And Lord, give us the grace to see others as You see them through Your eyes. And help us not to go back to where we were, but go forward knowing that You are with us, that You love us, and You want to continually be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, let's do two other things quickly before we go. Father, Your word tells us, forgetting the past, we press forward. Forgetting the past, we press forward. So we do make that decision to leave the frustrations, the disappointments, in 2060. And then, Father, we all enjoyed that cute little video, but the message isn't cute. The message is clear and specific. We have been forgiven an immeasurable debt, and you expect us to forgive others. So if we're going to leave unforgiveness in 2016, that means this second Sunday in January 2017, I need to choose to forgive. That doesn't mean what that person said was right, what they did was right, how they treated me was correct. What I experienced was what you wanted me to experience. It doesn't mean any of that. But it means that I am choosing to cause that situation to stop affecting me further. I'm putting an end to and breaking ties with what unforgiveness wants to continue. So as I think about that person, maybe in my instance, 2, 3, 4 people are coming to mind. So starting with the first person, I choose to forgive. I make that choice to forget that and forgive that and leave it in 2016. I place it in your hands to take care of so that it stops affecting me, so that it stops abusing me, so that it stops causing me hurt and pain. I choose to forgive that second person that came to me. And I place that into your hands. I choose to forgive the third person and place it in your hands. And the fourth person. I choose to forgive and place it in your hands. And Father, once I've done that, that gives you the freedom to come and heal me, to restore me, to allow me to press forward into your plans and destiny for me in 2017. We can't go forward looking backwards. So I choose to leave 2016 in 2016. And I turn now and I face toward you and where we are going together in 2017. I press on into breakthrough in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.